Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, where professionals come to find insights and inspiration for success. Hosted by the Missouri Training Institute, Dewey Thompson, Ray Lyon, and Brianna Larimer share their decades of experience training in workplaces across the nation and talk to other experts about what it takes to be a team player, a great manager, and a leader others want to follow. This is the Weekly Workplace.
Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, where professionals find insights and inspiration for success. My name is Brianna Larimer, business trainer and consultant with Missouri Training Institute. And with me again today, we have the incredible team, my director, Dewey Thompson, and associate director, Ray Lyon. Today's topic, we're going to be talking about something that is not often talked about in workplaces, but truly is probably one of the most important things to be discussing. And I'll tell you, when I first started at MTI, this was the first place that I had ever sat down at a team meeting, and we start out the discussion talking about trust. And Dewey, I was so intrigued by that. So tell me what your thinking is around this idea of and the importance of trust.
Well, to me, I you know, it amazes me that we spend the majority of our waking lives at work, right? To me, trust is the foundation of what a good team is all about. If you don't have trust, it's just going to, I think, lead to a lot of problems within the team. You get a lot of dysfunctional behaviors. You get a lot of conflict. You get a poor results. And to me, it's just really, really important to set and define what we mean by the idea of trust, what we're looking for, to make sure that everybody understands what that's about. I think the other thing that it does is it also provides a common language, right? It helps us all to be able to maybe address particular behaviors, mm-hmm. whether positive or negative, mm-hmm. In a way that we can all hold each other accountable. And at the same time, help us understand.
We have a relationship with mm-hmm. our coworkers, whether we want it or not, right? These people we have a relationship with. And what's the most important thing, honestly, in any relationship, whether it was one that you intentionally swiped right for or not, but, you know, we have a relationship with one another. And so I think trust is important. And you talk about it with, you know, the person you go home with at night, you know, in those situations. So why wouldn't we talk about it with the people that we spend 8 or 9 hours a day with?
I think when most people hear the term trust, I think they often think only of a transaction, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you say you're going to do something and you do it, you kind of completed the transaction. And if you're consistent at doing that, then I know that I can kind of trust you. And don't get me wrong, I think that's fabulous when that can happen. But I think that if we can kind of push the boundaries a little bit with a definition of trust, I think it's even more helpful. So what I like to look at trust is a willingness to be vulnerable, a willingness to be open with one another, you know, and think about how important this is in a team. You know, I need you to, you know, I'm the leader of the team, but even though I'm the official leader, I need you to come to me and say, Dewey, I think you goofed up. I need to be able to come to you and say those same kinds of things without either one of us feeling like we're being attacked, right?
Right.
But it's that sense of openness and that sense of vulnerability that I think that is really needed and what I try to achieve in terms of a level of trust among a team.
Yeah. You know, the first kind of trust that you talked about when you talked about transactional trust, to me, that's just predictability-based trust.
Yes.
I predict that when you do this, this will happen. I can predict that. And we're talking about, when we talk about that vulnerability-based trust, a lot of that is also dependent on how that person responds. Mm-hmm. You know, so if, you know, I come to you and say, Dewey, I goofed up, I have to feel psychologically safe. And I know that's kind of a word we're hearing a lot more now. That it's a leader's responsibility to create this psychologically safe environment. But I need to feel Like, you're not going to, you know, throw me under the bus, berate me for telling you I screwed up. Also feel it's not just in the relaying of that information, but then how you're going to respond to hearing that information.
Right. And how you respond, like you say, creates that space.
Yes.
That's a vulnerable position for somebody to be in, right?
Yes.
Is to come and say, hey, I goofed up.
I was speaking to it was a keynote address. It was to a room full of CEOs. So, you know, you can just picture that room, right? And the audience was, I would say, you know, older. They had worked their way to this position. And so it was just a keynote. So I wasn't taking questions or comments or anything. And I was done with my little talk. I'd gotten off the stage. I'm kind of packing things up. And I had this older gentleman come up to me and kind of with his little finger, you know, he was pointing at me and he said, it was about trust, my talk was. And I talked about just exactly what you were saying, Dewey, about vulnerability-based trust. And he said, I'll tell you something, little lady, as he was pointing his finger at me. And he said, I would never tell my people that I was wrong. Feeling a little bit sure of myself, and you guys will just nod that I would say something like this, but feeling a little bit sure of myself, I said, well, that's under the assumption they don't already know. You know, and
what was the response?
Well, you know, it's kind of one of those dead in your tracks kind of comment. I mean, the minute I said it or the second I said it, of course, I'm like, okay, I can't take that back, you know, and he just kind of looked at me and we walked off. I mean, you know, it's like drop the mic kind of thing. There's nothing right. You can say. And I didn't get asked back for a couple of years. But, you know, but that's so true, right?
Right.
I mean, people already know you screwed up. So you might as well walk in and just say, hey, folks, I screwed up. And they're like, yeah, you did, boss, you know, and then just move on because you're not telling them anything they don't already know.
Absolutely.
Hearing that, my fear with it, is there a concern bringing more attention to it would somehow damage or diminish your credibility even more?
Well, it's not easy. Let's start there.
Yeah.
This is not an easy thing all the way around. You know, we all walk around all day long with these little invisible ledgers, if you will. And when people do things that are very trustworthy, they get the little gold star next to their name in these invisible ledgers. And when people do things that are very untrustworthy, they miss a deadline, they maybe communicate you in a disrespectful manner, whatever it may be, they get the little red check mark next to their name, right? And so it's like we have these account balances. And, you know, I think Stephen Covey called this the emotional bank account. And the reason you really want to make sure that we're adding a lot of deposits into that bank account is because if you haven't done that and you make a withdrawal, that bank account is bankrupt. Right? It's very difficult to get that relationship back. But if I've done the job of putting these deposits into people's emotional bank accounts, and then I make a withdrawal, well, that relationship can be sustained because I haven't really bankrupted it yet, right? So yeah, we all make mistakes, right? We all goof up. Nobody out there is perfect. But if we've done the job of building this account balance up, it makes those moments, you know, a lot easier to get through.
So what would you tell somebody who's newer to a team who maybe hasn't had the opportunity to build those bank accounts up yet? I mean, what can they do? And they goof up, you know, how do you remedy the trust then if you know, you're still new enough where the trust hasn't fully been established?
Well, trust is a process, not an event.
Ah, yes.
Right. So it's the little things. It's going to be the little things. I mean, everything from showing up on time to the meeting, being prepared for the meeting. So have the agenda printed out, read it ahead of time, have your questions. You know, if there's something on the agenda you're not familiar with, is there a place to look it up? You know, so, or have your question about, I'm not familiar with XYZ project. Could you tell me something about it? You know, just little things that start to accumulate balances in people's emotional bank accounts.
you know, it's based on behaviors, not, mm-hmm. you know, you do have to be intentional, but it's not based on your intentions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Right. You can't mm-hmm. think about, oh, people are going to trust me just because people trust me. Well, that's not you, Brianna. You don't just trust people because they're people. Right. You know, everybody comes with a different level and a different, you know, a different account of what makes a deposit. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. We all seem to have our own little currencies.
Exactly.
Right? And yeah. Well, it's about understanding what those currencies are, but then making sure that we're paying them, right? And that we're putting those into that emotional bank account. And it will be different for everybody.
Yeah.
I think that certainly helps. You know, the idea that although I may immediately come in, mess up, goof up, make a withdrawal, I still have an opportunity to make those smaller positive deposits throughout the span of time.
Yes.
Not to be set in the space that this is a one-time event and correct. My trust is demolished. You know, you all have been in a lot of workplaces around the nation. Tell me what some of those distrustful work environments look like.
Oh, my gosh. What I usually see right off the bat is what I call invulnerability, right? If trust is about being open and vulnerable, then when you don't have it, it really results in a lot of invulnerability. So what that means is people start hiding things from one another. They don't share their mistakes or their weaknesses with one another. It's those kinds of things. We enter into what we call the sense of artificial harmony, mm-hmm. right? So you're walking down the hallway, you bump into somebody and you ask the question, hi, how are you? But you really don't want a response, right?
Yeah.
That's that artificial harmony. You know, people, I think they get that little blanket. They start to protect themselves. They kind of wrap themselves up in it. They're not engaging with one another. They're not communicating with one another.
Lots of checks and balances. There's a procedure. Procedure for everything.
Yeah.
Everything. How you get this report from this desk to that desk and then sign off on it, check off on it. I mean, there's everything's got.
Yeah. You see a lot of micromanagement yes. in environments where there's not yes. a lot of trust. Absolutely. Yes.
They lock up their toilet paper. That bugs me.
If you're yeah. bringing Ray in for a training, make sure your toilet paper unlock is your unlocked. Toilet paper.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I actually was in an organization doing a presentation in a workplace, and we were in the conference room, and there was this artificial plant, you know, in the like the boardroom. It had 20 or 30 chairs in it, and I look inside this plant, you know, because I'm up at the head of the table, and it had a baby monitor in it, like snuggled down in it, and the light was on, so they were listening.
Oh my goodness.
To their employees. During this training process. And, you know, I obviously knew this about the workplace because that was one of the reasons they brought me in is, you know, to have this conversation with their, you know, employees. But of course, the leadership didn't want to be in on the training. They just wanted me to report. And
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Come in and fix the problem. But we're not willing to admit that we're the causes of the problem.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I don't know. People put it in a win-lose situation.
Right.
You know, I don't get that.
Yeah.
Well, I do, but I mean, I get it, but I don't know why they allow it to persist.
Right. I think it's because people have to look inside at themselves, you know, because when we think about trust, you know, we think about it only occurring within a relationship. You know, how can you trust somebody, you know, without two people being there, right? But you also have to think that trust really starts with yourself, right?
Yeah.
You know, let's say that you, it's December 31st, you've made a commitment to yourself, you're going to get up the next day on January 1, an hour earlier and start, you know, a new workout regimen, all right? You know, you're going to get yourself in shape. January 1 rolls around, the alarm goes off an hour early, and you just immediately hit the snooze button. And what you just did right then is you've taught yourself that you cannot trust yourself, right? You're not even able to carry out the commitments that you make to yourself. And so, you know, we might not think of such a big deal, but the next commitment that you make to yourself, it gets pretty easy just to hit that snooze button off again and go back to bed.
And that in a bigger picture, it tells me that people are more focused on themselves, because if I'm not willing to be open, it's more about me, right? It's more about me. How, you know, I'm asking for you to be open, you to tell me the truth, yet I'm not willing to tell the truth. I only control me. So if I want this trusting environment, then I need to start with me, you know, which is exactly what you're saying. I need to be the one, whether you tell the truth or not, meaning, you know, whether you say I goofed up or I don't know how to do this, or honestly, I'm sorry. You know, let's try that one on for size.
Funny you mentioned that one. I think that's a great way to make a withdrawal from this emotional bank account is an insincere apology. I mean, how many of you have had those before, right? Where somebody goes, oh, I'm so sorry, but they really didn't mean it. You know, to me, that's like getting a non-sufficient fund fee on top of the bounce check.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, at least if you're not sincere about it, don't bother, because then at least you kind of maintain your integrity. But it's so small, intentional decisions about our behavior is how you earn trust.
Right. And I think when we think about trust, and especially as a team in a workplace, and people will always say how important that is for their team. And one of the things I say then, well, let's talk about what that looks like, right? Let's put some behaviors behind it. And then when we talk about those behaviors, then I'm going to say, okay, so let's talk about what are we going to do or say when these behaviors aren't adhered to? Because we're human, mm-hmm. and we're also creatures of habit. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very easy for us as a team to slip back into something. So when we see it, how are we going to call it out? What are we going to say? What's going to be fair for us to say when we see us slip back into one of those very comfortable behaviors?
That's very interesting. I was one time doing some strategic planning for a pretty small organization, but it was an organization that had a very mature team, a team that has done, you could tell they've done the job of earning each other's trust. And what they did is in that situation, Ray, is that they actually made it a kind of a fun process. So they handed out like these little noisemakers that you'd get like at New Year's Eve or something like that. And so they had a list of these behaviors in their team meetings. And when people kind of went outside the boundaries, then everybody got their noisemaker out and just kind of started, you know,
yeah.
doing that. It was kind of a general, they didn't really have to say a word, you know,
yeah.
it was just a reminder that, hey, you kind of went outside the boundary.
Nice.
But it took a while for them to get there. Now, I wouldn't suggest that as a strategy for a newly formed team or a team that is really dealing with a lot of trust issues.
Right.
That would be kind of maybe a wrong approach. But for a well-maintained, very mature team who knew each other and were very deliberate about earning each other's trust, it can even turn into a fun thing.
Sure. So we've talked a lot about now what those kind of distrustful environments would look like. But hearing you say that and this team having so much trust, what does that now look like in the workplace with a lot of trust?
It turns over product, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, you know, everybody, it moves, it innovates, it's creative. I don't think a trusting team is without conflict. I think it's how it handles conflict. It's an open, safe dialogue. I think it's a team that knows each other and respects that space of the other person, but it's innovative.
You know, I think that's interesting because I think a lot of people think that, Ray,
yeah.
that if we don't have conflict, we must be on this fabulous,
yeah.
trusting team. And that's not necessarily the case. It could be just an invulnerable team.
Right.
Everybody on the team is very invulnerable. They don't want to have conflict, right? If you're not having conflict on your team, that's when I would probably be a little worried, you know? I bet there's probably some conflict that we as leaders probably need to surface and deal with and move on and beyond that as a demonstration that we're going to take this idea of trust seriously.
Right.
Yeah, I think those environments where there exists a lot of trust, I see a lot of people listening very intently to one another. They're asking each other additional questions and clarifying questions to really understand each other's point of view. Other things I notice is they look for win-win opportunities. They don't look for win-lose. They don't operate from win-lose dynamics. They operate from an abundance mentality where it doesn't have to be one person's way. It doesn't have to be another person's way. It just needs to be a better way that we can all kind of move forward with and support. You see a lot more respect. You see a lot more creativity. People are willing to put some ideas out there because they know they will be handled in a way where people will not disrespect them.
Right.
So you just see a lot more productivity on the team.
Do you think it's more in the things that people do or the absence of what people do that really erodes that trust?
I think it can be either or. Certainly when somebody is disrespecting you and you notice that through their body language or through the words that they're saying, those are definite behaviors that can really erode a lot of trust, right? But you also have people who, you know, withhold information. In order to earn trust, it's not about what you're going to say to somebody. It's not what your intentions may be. It's really about what they get to see, right? Their behaviors they see every single day. So what did you say? What did you decide? What was the decision that you made? Or what was the specific reaction that you had to somebody? Those are often the ways that you can either make that deposit or make that withdrawal.
I think there's a level of care too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and feeling, you know me, I don't mean the warm, fuzzy care. But I mean, do you just feel like I got your back? Mm-hmm. You know, and whether I'm your leader or whether I'm just your coworker, how do I show that I got you?
And even if you goof up, I still got you.
Yes.
I think that's important. You know, I think Covey said that. He talks about how leaders especially have to demonstrate genuine caring for people. And if you think about all the things you have to care about as a leader, you have to care about your people. You have to care about your customers. You have to care about your products. You have to care about how we deliver those products. I mean, there's so many things that you have to care about. But here's the thing. If you're not demonstrating that you care about them, the rest of your team won't. And so the idea of genuinely caring for people, genuinely caring for what it is that you're trying to achieve as a team is extremely important.
I can't stand if I had a leader who also didn't have the knowledge about what we were doing or even the interest in learning more, just kind of complacent, I guess. So I think competency is a big piece to trust and to establishing trust and making that important among the team as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but I do not like working with idiots. Right. Or four idiots. Yeah. And so when people demonstrate that they're competent, when they demonstrate their knowledge and skills repeatedly over and over and over again, that's another great way of knowing that I can trust you, right? I can be vulnerable and put myself out there knowing that you're going to take care of it, right? Because you're competent in what it is that you're doing.
That doesn't mean, because I see there's two types of leaders there. One is I know my job, right, as a leader. Doesn't necessarily mean if you're sick that day, I could go step in and do your job. To me, so I need to know my job as a leader. And then there's also leaders who have been promoted from your job into leadership. And, you know, sometimes I get a hard role because we think they're micromanaging our position, but we got to remember they can do our position, you know, and they're still learning the role of leadership. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they're micromanaging your role, is because that's where they're comfortable, right? So it's really not micromanaging, but they're competent in your role. And so there's that grace period where they're still trying to learn to lead. And then, you know, obviously you don't, not only do you want them to care and be knowledgeable, but they've got to be a person of integrity. And I think we've talked about that. You know, you need somebody who's the same lights on, lights off, you know, the same when their boss is in the room than when their boss isn't in the room. Mm-hmm. Right. So they've got to be a person of quality.
Character.
Yeah, absolutely. I also think when I think about workplaces, I think it's kind of a weird thing, but I think people will trust other people if they trust you and you trust the other person. Mm. I think there's kind of a network of trust. You know, I look at us in a three, and I'll use the example. So I trust Dewey a lot. Like, he has a bazillion dollars on deposit with me, right? And so I trust Dewey. So Brianna comes to our team. She's new. She, you know, sees how I trust Dewey. And for some, I think there's this transference of trust because I trust Dewey. She trusts me. So in some way, she trusts Dewey as well, right? I think that's how, like, these social networks can work. Just automatically, just, you know, now Dewey's going to have to prove himself ultimately. ultimately, but there's just some kind of like, okay, well, Dewey's a cool dude then. You know, Ray trusts him. I trust Ray. So, okay, I'll give Dewey the benefit of the doubt. You know, there's this a network of trust that happens within workplaces.
Yeah. And it takes time. The other thing I would caution people on is that it ebbs and flows. What I have often tell folks, look at your team and do that assessment. This is a relationship that we've got a lot of trust built up in. This is a relationship that I is lacking in trust, or this is a relationship that needs a little bit of repair, or maybe this is a new relationship I need to develop because it will help me and our team achieve what we need to achieve. And then think to yourself, what am I going to do today? What behavior am I going to demonstrate to this person that is going to make that deposit?
Right.
Well, I am looking forward to our next episode. We'll follow up on this particular topic, talking about what we can do to really try and earn that trust. So we appreciate you tuning in today. If you have any questions related to the content or would like any expansion on today's topic, send us an email at mti@missouri.edu. Go be great.
Thanks for listening to The Weekly Workplace, hosted by the Missouri Training Institute. Dewey, Ray, and Brianna stand ready to connect with you and meet your training needs. Be sure to check out ways to contact them in the episode description or at mti.missouri.edu.